oversaturated, 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 oversaturated,
Welcome to another episode of Oversaturated the Podcast, where we discuss music, movies, pop culture, and everything in between. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ralph.
Welcome to episode number 82.
82, John Stallworth.
What sport?
Damn it. Football.
That sound like a football name.
Hold on. Wait. I got you. Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver, NFL Hall of Fame, and last but certainly not least, Alabama A&M alum.
Oh, turn up. That's what I'm talking about. The only other football player that I know that went to the NFL is Robert Mathis, I think his name.
Yeah.
Played for the Colts. Yeah. Retired a few years ago, so turn up. Mm-hmm. That's what's up. New listeners, please follow us on all social media. Facebook, just search Oversaturated the Podcast. Twitter is Oversat Podcast. Instagram is Oversat the Podcast. And our email is oversatpodcast@gmail.com. And our website, oversatthepod.com. Anything you need to know about OS is there.
Yes, sir. And if you want to follow us individually, I'm Demonda Ralph on Instagram and Twitter.
On Instagram, I'm JBS_ESL_AAMU. On Twitter, I'm JON2_B.
Yes, we are back. It's been 2 weeks, 2 weeks down. I'm feeling good, feeling great, but I have to ask my brother, my friend, my podcast partner in crime, Johnny, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, man. Still working, clearly. I'm still riding the news of working from home until January. So it's still lit.
It's the little things, right?
It's the little things, man. Little things. I got some personal goals that I'm working toward to start like really pushing hard for in 2021. So
yeah,
you know the grind don't stop, man. The grind don't stop. Oh,
yeah. I feel that. Yeah, man. Everything's actually pretty good with me. I ain't got no complaints. I'm just ready for these jokes, man. It's a lot we got to get into. It's one thing I will say, and I'm just say this. I'm grateful to the people that have been listening, rather it been religiously or just in passing, right? Yeah, salute to you guys because, you know, the feedback and everything you've been giving us is phenomenal. I check the stats here and there on the show. I ain't saying we doing numbers, but we do numbers. Like, I'm happy that there's some consistent numbers, too. So, right. Salute to everybody that's been giving us feedback, especially on Breaking the Wire, because that's, you know, kind of like a – it's not a risk, but, you know,
listen,
it's fun.
Man, that Breaking the Wire is like the biggest project we've done for the podcast. And
it really is.
I'm loving it. Like, I'm loving it so far. Like, it's great. I was nervous at first because I just didn't know. I didn't know. But it's turning out so great. Shout out to Vicky. She just had a birthday.
Yeah, salute to her, man. Hey,
hey man.
I'm letting y'all know how we got real people on the pod,
no,
right? Because Vicky, like, you know, Vicky known. Like, she's no small fry around here. I seen Fonte wish her happy birthday in the comments. So I was like, wait a minute. Fonte Galo?
Hey. I went last year to the Roots picnic. Vicky went with me. Mm-hmm. And we ran into Fonte. Okay. And I swear to God, you'd have thought they grew up in high school together. Like they really own some cool shit. Like,
I can see them hitting it off too.
First like, name basis,
homie. Like, yeah, and salute to Fonte.
Put me on.
right.
Put me on.
Shout out to Vicky. Man.
Shout out to Vicky, man. Love you, Vicky. So before we get to the shits today, we got some church announcements. first of all, I want to give a shout out to Ralph because he was a guest on Change the Subject podcast. Episode title is Mr. Nice Guy, I believe.
Yeah, it was a troll, man. Shout out to BJ, man.
Yeah, shout out to BJ, the homie out of Detroit. Change the Subject podcast. It was a fire episode. So dope.
Appreciate that.
To me, one of the that episode has a lot of replay value. I've listened to it twice already. That's something I could go back to because my man's Ralph was in his bag. He was in his bag. I can't even lie about it. I will be featured on another episode of Change the Subject coming up, so look out for that as well.
Yes, sir.
And then also, Black Business Expo that's happening in East St. Louis on September 5th, 2020. I want to shout out my homie Wanaki. She's throwing this event. There's going to be over 20 different small business vendors from East St. Louis that will be participating in this Small Business Expo. Shout out to her for throwing this. I'm going to try to make it out there. It's free for women and $5 for men. And, I hope you guys can check that out. It's on September 5th, and it's from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. So, again,
where is it?
It's going to be on the Visions Ultra Lounge parking lot across from the Board of Education.
Okay.
I don't have an address, but once I post it on social media, I'll post the address as well. So shout out to Wanneke, man. This is dope. I'm glad to see I graduated with her, so I'm glad to see a lot of my peers doing big things. Yeah.
Yep.
So shout out to her, man. That's all the church announcements I got.
Hey man, well, you know what it is. Off the dome.
Off
man.
The dome.
Off the dome. You got it, or you want to go first?
I'll take it first.
Okay.
All right. So earlier today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Working. I got my music going, and
this
Trey Songz song comes on. I can't help but wait. That's
okay.
And I'm like, I haven't heard the song in a while, so I'm listening to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to the words, and he was dirty making.
Okay.
Like, Trey Songz was really dirty making in that song. I was like, huh. First of all, it's not a bad song. I enjoy it. But I was like, damn. So I want to ask you, what are some of your favorite Dirty Mac songs of all time?
Oh, first, I mean, you can definitely go like a Jagged Edge, He Can't Love You. Like, it says in the title. Another Dirty Mac joint. Damn, you know, I wish I had time to think of that, but that's the one that J.E. really comes to mind. I'm trying to think. Didn't Usher have a Dirty Mac joint?
I'm sure he did.
Pretty sure he did.
Shit, was it My Way, Dirty Mac?
Yes! 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 I'm glad you said it. Yeah, My Way was,
Fire song? No, fire
yeah,
song.
Yeah, yeah. You go back and think about it. So I'm like, damn, man, you talking about? The biggest one, Mario, right?
Just a friend.
Not just a friend.
Oh, I was like,
wait,
Let Me Love You.
Yeah.
Oh,
he was dirty backing hard in there.
Facts. No, that's true. This is true.
You think about
it. Oh my god.
I'm pretty sure half of Drake's R&B catalog is dirty macking. So I mean, Marvin's Place. You know. Yeah, I mean,
Dirty Mackin, yes, but
Dirty Mackin, yes. We ain't talking about the song.
Yeah, well, you're right.
We're talking about the content. My bad. You just heard Aubrey. You like,
I did. I was like, fuck this shit. So I got a one. It's a deep cut.
Okay,
Bobby Valentino. It's called Never Lonely off his debut album.
Oh wow,
fire song. But that goes in the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame. Like, go listen to that shit. I swear to God. Go listen to it. I love that song, but it's Dirty Mac at its finest.
I believe you. Like, Quaz is kept. That Bobby Valentino has some joints. Like, I wouldn't say supremely underrated, but he's underrated. Like,
no, I agree 100%. His first album is a classic. Like, I'm not.
I mean,
bullshit.
Slow Down. Like, I mean, that's a top tier like R&B song. I don't give a damn what nobody say. Like,
come on,
that joint is.
Talk that shit.
Up there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. His first album is definitely a classic. If y'all haven't listened or haven't listened in a while, like, go listen to it, because, yeah.
I never listened to the first one. I always listened to the second album, because the second album had Anonymous.
Anonymous, yeah.
And
yeah.
Turn the Page. Like, he had some
remember this joint he had with Wayne? Those jeans? In Those Jeans, or whatever the shit was called? Tell me, how did you get that? That's my shit. Fire song.
All right, back up, back to the Dirty Racket. But no, so, hey, that was a fire question though. But now, people, you know what? We gotta hear these Dirty Racket joints from y'all. Like, what's your favorite? We gotta put that out there too. We gotta see what the people how they feel about that.
Yeah.
Oh man, but. My off the dome question is, I think it's simple. I think you probably ask yourself this a whole bunch of times, right? Mm-hmm. Who is your rap doppelganger? And I don't mean in the sense of like how you look like somebody, but mm-hmm. in the sense of like content, how they rap, even how they dress, like that type of stuff. Like, who could you see yourself, like your mirror image as a mainstream rapper? Who is it?
Damn, that's a fire question. That's a fire question. So I think I would have a different one for different attributes.
Okay. So, but you don't see like yourself like completely as like this
not,
is me.
Not completely as one person. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
Damn, I want to ask other people who they think my rap doppelganger is. But anyway,
I would say Lupe is yours.
Really?
Yes. Oh, not a sense of like the rap ability.
Mm-hmm.
The fact, like I think the content would somewhat be there too.
Okay.
Somewhat. I ain't saying you'd be rapping about skateboards and shit all the time. And that's not Lupe's content at all.
But yeah.
Lupe can rap like. Rap.
The thing about Lupe is he can rap, but his songs have a deeper meaning than what you hear on the surface.
Like, okay. You don't think your, like, if you was rapping, your pen would, you know, go there?
I don't know, man, because I, like...
That's because I know you, Johnny. Like, I know you probably throw some Marvel schemes in there. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that's you.
Now that you mentioned it, Mickey Facts. Mickey Facts is who I was.
Okay.
Like, Mickey... So, Mickey dope. Mickey is also dope as fuck. But I don't think he goes as deep as Lupe goes. Like, I fuck with Lupe's music, but sometimes he just be way too.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Sometimes you gotta be on some.
Like, have you heard Lupe's new EP or project or whatever it is?
I didn't even know you had one.
Yeah, he put some shit out a couple weeks ago. Okay. And I listened to it. I didn't know what the fuck. I didn't know what he was talking about. Okay. So I was listening to, and I'm going on a tangent, but I was listening to the Joe Budden podcast, and he called Lupe. He was like, Lupe, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Because the shit just weird as fuck. Like, he had one song talking about elephants.
Oh, okay. But, and when I say Lupe for you, I mean like prime Lupe. I mean like the, you know, like anything from Food and Liquor to Lasers. Like, anything after that, you know.
I'm with that. But I was going to say, for rapping ability, I'll say Twista. And then for actual content, I would say Joe Budden. Because when I was younger, my mind was not, like, sane. So, I'll say that.
Okay, fair enough.
But I'll go Mickey. Overall, I'll go Mickey Facts.
Okay. Well, if I could pick one singular rapper, and I would say that kind of encompasses everything that I feel that I would do as a mainstream rapper, would be Big Crit.
Okay.
Like, content, style, beat selection, like, rapping ability. Like, I feel like I can use some club shit, I can use some instrumental shit, I can use some girl shit. Like, but it wouldn't be like your typical stuff. It'd be like that. It'll kind of have a southern twang to it. I feel like that'll be me, even though I'm not southern, but I just feel like that's the type of energy I'll be on.
Yeah. OS mixtape coming soon.
Fast. But now, listeners, if you could find your rap doppelganger or, you know, maybe something of that sort, if you found yourself in an attribute of a mainstream rapper, who would it be?
That was a dope question. And also, what song goes in the Dirty Mac Hall of Fame? What's your favorite Dirty Mac song? Let us know. Let us know. Dope off the dome, man.
Oh, yeah, man. But now we on to the next, man. We on to the pull up, the segment of OS where I give creative control over to my co-host, Johnny. He decides what topics hits the OS news desk. He's going to decide if we pull up on him or keep it moving. Johnny, we just came up off a big versus battle. Rick Ross versus 2 Chainz. What are we doing? Pull it up or keep it moving?
Let's pull up on it.
Skirt, skirt. Well, last week, Thursday, we had a big versus battle, man. Rick Ross versus 2 Chainz. I think it's one to be discussed, one for the ages.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, what are your thoughts?
All right, so
we never got into predictions because we kind of skipped a week. So go ahead.
So I guess I'll start with my prediction. So first of all, everybody knows Rick Ross and 2 Chainz are two of the most laid back, chill rappers in mainstream hip hop today, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't expect them to do any type of performing when it came to this battle. Okay. Now, with that being said, I thoroughly enjoyed this. I felt like I was in college again listening to most of these songs on this, like, on the Versus playlist. Sitting back, I was a little inebriated, and I was just sitting on the couch just vibing. Like, it was great. Like, it was great.
Yeah.
Like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I don't have a winner. Like,
Okay. Yeah. Going into it, I thought I was like, you know, immediately that excited that like, oh, they got, you know, somebody there, you know, actually two rappers that are relevant to an extent. Like, they're irrelevant, so they're actually going up against it. And then when you start thinking about it, I was like, damn, Rick Ross got a lot of joints. Like, a lot. And I would never be the one that's disrespectful to 2 Chainz because in the sense that I'm very familiar with his catalog. And this is not a catalog debate. It's a hit battle debate. Right. So in that case, it's just like Rick Ross has well over 20 hits. Like, I...
Yeah, agree.
He has well over 20. 2 Chainz might have, you know, 20, 25, depending on, you know, who you ask.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that it would be entertaining. And then when I stripped away the mindset, because I know that Ross can completely get a lot of his songs out of here. But, you know, when you go into the battle, if it's even considered a battle, that 2 Chainz showed up and he at least held his own. I'm not going to sit here. You know, we can go tit for tat on some of those songs. Honestly, Rick Ross went into, like, you know, he started off high energy. He started off with BMF. I'm like, wow, out the gate. And he was very Teflon Don heavy. And there's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, I'm not going to front.
If I got my thriller, if I got my classic, I'm busting you over the head because that's what Snoop did when he was battling X. He started out with a lot of chronic doggy style. You can't blame people for going that route.
Exactly, and that's what the battle is for, to showcase their catalogs. And if a lot of his heat is from Teflon Don, why would he not play it? So I get it.
But there was a lot that he didn't play. I was like, Jesus. Like, if it really was like a battle or something, like say if he battled like, you know, let's just say 50. We've been putting 50 out there a lot, right? Mm-hmm. If he battled 50, Jesus Christ.
He would have watched
50 completely. Off the sense of, I'm not holding back. This is not friendly. Like him and 2 Chainz, at least Rick Ross and 2 Chainz have songs together.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like they it was a hit that 2 Chainz could have played for himself or Rick Ross could have played for himself, but they didn't.
Listen.
But it was just so much. It was so entertaining. It was so dope for them guys. I appreciated them. Nothing opened my eyes for me because, you know, some people like, oh, they're so dope. I already had them in high regard. You know.
We were in a space during a time when they were really getting their shit off. Like, we in college, like, everywhere we go, we heard most of these songs.
Yeah.
Even right after college. So, like, we know what they can do. We know that.
And then certain songs you had to be outside to appreciate.
Like, oh, come on.
I mean, like, you're not going to appreciate Rich as Fuck, you know, at home. Like, I'm sorry. Like, Man, I Love Them Strippers, it's not appreciated at home. But, oh, yeah, shout out to 2 Chainz for the essential workers.
Come on, man.
Shout out to the 2 Chainz.
They need work right now. So I appreciate him for employing these young ladies.
Ross said he was going to give one of them a PPE loan. Come on, let me for a PPE. That was completely ignorant.
But see, that's the type of things that I expected from 2 Chainz and Ross. Yeah. 2 Chainz brought the essential workers out, right? They did their thing. Yeah. Rick Ross brought the lady masseuse out. In between his songs, like, just cool as fuck. Like, let me get this massage before I hit you with this joint. Like, that's what I expected. I saw so many people saying they were bored and whatnot. Like, why are you bored when you know this is how these two entertainers are? Like, they just cool as fuck. They're not gonna be up dancing around like Snoop. They don't do that. That's Snoop. So I get it. I loved it. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I was about to say, I've seen both of them in concert. They're like the show around them makes the show better.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they're the best performers, you know, but I think this was a great versus, one of the top tier. I'm not saying it's the best one just because off of recency. I just think it was a good versus. I don't think Ross watched him as most people predicted.
Right. Same.
I mean, I would say, you know, it's definitely a double-digit win, like, but still, don't disrespect my man Chainz, yeah, man.
Definitely not. Chainz been in the game for a minute. A lot of y'all just now getting hip to him. So
Ross got too many bags, bro. It's bad. Like,
When he played his verse from Devil in a New Dress, like I forgot about that song.
Like it's different. Like the thing is, like Chainz might have a few. Like I got a Ye bag, I got a Drake bag, mm-hmm. I got the, you know, but you ain't got no whole features. You ain't got, and then you may have songs with Drake, but you ain't got these songs with Drake. Like it's levels, right? And one thing that obviously it definitely exposed. I don't think nobody really wants to have a hit battle with Drake.
Nope. I was just gonna ask you who you think could do it. Only person that could probably do it might be Jay-Z, like on some real shit.
Hold on. This ain't an album debate. This is like we just said, this is a hit.
This is a hit, yeah.
So if anything, it might be Chris Brown, maybe. I don't know. Like
Chris they both sing and rap, so maybe.
That's what I'm saying. They both got like 50,000 hits. Like yeah. They both have them.
Damn.
That'll never happen. I think that's the only people. That's the only person. But Drake is like Thanos. You got too much, man.
That's funny.
I know, man. But next on the pull up, we got a rapper retiring. Johnny, you want to pull up on that?
You know what? Yeah, let's pull up on it.
Okay, skirt. Well, we got a 30-year-old rapper, Logic. He's actually said, "Hey, I am done rapping." And I know how you feel about rappers announcing retirement, so I wanted to get your thoughts and opinions on that.
Now, when I initially heard Logic say he was retiring, my first thought was like, "For what?" Like. I mean, I'm certain he has, like, a lot of other business ventures, that type of stuff. But, like, if you're really going to retire, why are you going to announce it? Just say, I'm going to put this album out, then, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to the album yet. Mm-hmm. I hear it's dope, though. Mm-hmm. But I haven't gotten to it. So, I'm just not – at first, I wasn't certain why he announced that he was retiring. Like, I'm just it's just weird to me because he's – like you say, he's 30. Announcing that you're going to retire at 30 honestly means nothing because you could catch that bug again in another year or two and put out a new album. So I took that very lightly. Like I didn't believe it.
Yeah. From a career standpoint, Logic has done enough, but for us to sit here and say, oh, you're going to retire and it's going to be like, oh no, Logic, come back, rap some more. Like, I don't think that's really what hip-hop fans or rap fans are clamoring for when you think of a Logic retirement. Uh-huh. But he has had a hell of a career. Like, you know, maybe he has, you know, he's been a punching bag, which we'll kind of get to in this conversation. But you've done enough. You made enough money. You toured. You had number one albums, number one singles. You performed on big stages. Uh-huh. I don't really know what else. Like, you know, but we have seen in other under genres and other aspects of music, some artists may reach this level of acclaim and never be satisfied or never be happy.
Yeah.
And that's what it seems like Logic is. He's just not happy.
And if that's the case, I completely understand it. Like, I get it. Mm-hmm. You have to go with your mind, your gut, and say, hey, if this isn't fulfilling anymore, I need to switch. And he has well enough money to pivot and do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Quiet as Kept, this last album is pretty good. I don't really have to go back to it, but it's good. Like, you know, it's not Young Sinatra 4. Gotcha. It's not Young Sinatra. So
I heard somebody say Logic is a great rapper, but a terrible song maker. And I think I agree with that.
He can fall in that bucket. He can fall in there. But the thing is, he has like some of the best beat, like the beat selection. Oh my god! Like he has No ID executive produced this, and I never really heard bad No ID beats.
Yeah, agreed.
Now that I think of it, but I just hate that. I don't know. I don't know what I hate about this story. Like, it's just salute. Like, it should be more so a celebration, but it seems like it's not.
See, I think another thing about this story, because there's another layer, right? Yeah. So, a little bit after he announced that he was retiring, he signs a seven-figure deal with the streaming service Twitch. So, I'm assuming that has something to do with it. Now, I'm thinking, okay, you sign this deal with Twitch, right? Which is like a streaming platform. A lot of people use that to stream themselves playing like video games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking you're about to have this large platform that you exclusively stream to. Why announce your retirement now when you have this avenue to get more music out to more people?
Exactly.
I just don't understand. I didn't understand it.
Hustling backwards, but let's get to, I guess I would say, the nitty gritty of it, right? Mm-hmm. The Joe Budden and I would say Logic beef, or the Joe Budden podcast and Logic beef. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that? Like, do you feel like Logic's being bullied by Joe Budden?
I don't. And the reason I say that is in 2020, mm-hmm. a lot of these newer artists are a little bit more sensitive. Now, mm-hmm. we live in a time now where anybody can get their opinion on the internet and everybody can see it.
Yeah.
20 years ago, that wasn't a thing. Like,
yeah.
You and I, nobody would really know how we felt about a Logic or any of these other artists because we didn't have the podcasting platform to get our stuff out there. Yeah. It just so happens now that literally anyone can tweet, they can put out an audio file of what they don't mm-hmm. like about somebody. So I can see how an artist can read these things and hear these things about themselves and say, yeah. Oh, this makes me sad because so yeah. many people don't like me.
Yeah. It's weird because like you say, like, I think Logic's fans, like, he has an enormous fan base, I would think. Mm-hmm. So you think that maybe some of that would drown out the noise of the haters. And, you know, in this sense, Joe Budden is, you know, a little bit of hate. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you know, it's a little bit there. But you think a podcast platform has more fans than a famous mainstream rapper? Like, you think that, you know, you think that that's possible? Like, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying that he doesn't have a right to feel the way he feels. Mm-hmm. He can't defend himself. Like, but family, like, you're a rapper. Like, you know, throw some bars at him. Get that off your chest. Like, I wouldn't let, you know, the Charlemagne's of the world and Joe Budden's of the world, but, you know, kind of get to me. But then again, I understand by them being, like, the quote-unquote gatekeepers mm-hmm. to urban mainstream hip-hop, because if they sing your praises, it kind of trickles down.
True.
And from a media standpoint. From a media standpoint.
That's true. That's very true. But I think from Joe Budden's perspective, this is my opinion. Because I listen to them avidly, right? I think Joe Budden just doesn't like Logic as a rapper. I don't know if he knows Logic personally. I don't know if they've ever had a conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know that.
Yeah.
I just think he doesn't like Logic's music. And that's okay yeah. for him not to like it.
Exactly.
I'm just saying just because Joe Budden has this enormous podcast platform that his words are amplified, but him sitting at home with his people with Marl and Rory just telling them in the confinement of his own house, you know what, I don't really fuck with Logic music like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's different. It would be different, but his shit is amplified now.
But I mean, Logic makes really good music, though. Like, I mean, in a sense, overall, he does. So, are you telling me one person or two people out of a million? Like, you got the album sales, the accolades to back this shit up, but somehow not having the respect of Charlamagne and Joe Budden have really, like, just.
I think that speaks to whatever Logic is going through himself, like.
Oh, yeah, and he's talked about that, too. So.
Yeah, so I mean, I hope he gets the help he needs, and maybe stepping back from rap is him doing what he needs to do. And if that's the case, yeah. we'll put more power to Logic. Like, turn up. Turn up right. on Twitch. Like, you got the 7-figure deal. You about to be on there doing whatever you about to do. So, shit, exactly. go for it. So
exactly. Next topic on the pull-up, we got The Rock making a huge sports purchase.
Hey, yeah, let's pull up.
Okay, skirt. Well, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has recently become a part of an investor group to purchase the once defunct XFL. It was like, it's a weird story. But however, for $15 million. So, Johnny, what's your thoughts, man?
I have two words for this.
What?
Caw-caw!
Battlehawks back, baby!
Battlehawks are back, baby! No, this is dope. So, from what I read, The Rock partnered with some bank, investment group to purchase the XFL. Now, purchasing an entire league for $15 million, I feel like that's kind of light, but maybe that's all it was worth, you know, because it was only here for a season. So I'm excited. I was sad I didn't get a chance to actually go to a Battle Hawks game this year, but it's coming back.
It shut down mid-season, I think.
It
wasn't because, like, the XFL actually defunct because of COVID. Like, it shut down because of the pandemic. But no, man, that's dope, man. I'm not sure how much, like you said, the XFL is really worth, but it was shut down in the middle of COVID. So it was, like, ramping up to actually be something.
Yeah.
And then COVID just kind of –
Just shut it down.
And then as soon as, like, the season shut down, the league as a whole became defunct. That's why I was just like, it's funny. Like, damn, we back up and running already, baby? Let's go.
Hey, man, maybe third time's a charm. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, and maybe The Rock being a part of it, maybe he saw something that maybe other investors didn't see, because this is something that his former boss used to own was a part of. So I think that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, oh, Vince McMahon used to own this. Now he kind of slid in, like, hey, let's do this right. And then he former football player. I might do it better than him.
Hey, I'm going to keep it a buck. I didn't even make that correlation. Like, The Rock, the WWE and shit.
Yeah, I didn't even
make that correlation. So it's lit.
All that. I'm not even sure if Vince is still a part of it. But
right, yeah, I'm not sure either. It's also interesting that The Rock played this type of character in the show Ballers.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he took, like, some of what he learned from being, like, from acting that role to this, because you never know.
Right, you never know. But no, salute to The Rock, man. Salute to The Rock. That's dope.
I'm waiting for next season.
Right. Right. It'll come around 2022. We ain't doing no
facts. We ain't doing shit else.
We ain't doing shit else. But no, man. Oh, next topic gonna pull up, man. We got a rapper that wants to get in the NBA.
Yes, yeah, pull up.
Pull up. Well, hey, man, Jermaine Lamar Cole has been out here training to become an NBA player per Master P. Master P is the one that put this report out there. Johnny, your thoughts?
So, first of all, shout out to Master P, because he actually did play in the league for, like, a game or two.
Yeah.
So, maybe this story has a little validity to it. I'm going to keep it a buck, man. I'm going to be honest with you. And this is only from the videos that I've seen of J. Cole in the gym, shooting in the gym. I'm not really sure if he would, you know, make a good NBA player. Now, the reason I say that, yeah, hella videos of him shooting threes, top of the key, the corner, and all that type of shit, cool. I've never seen him dribble. I've never seen him run up and down the court. Now, I'm not a basketball expert by any means, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. But his pull-up and release on his jump shot, super slow. His shit getting swatted every time. That's all I got. I've never seen him play actual scrimmage.
Okay, well, I mean, I've seen him play scrimmages, but it's been like, you know, celebrity games and stuff like that. So you take that with a grain of salt. But, I mean, J. Cole did play basketball in college, so he was on a D1 scholarship. But he's 35.
Now, 35-year-old rookie.
I don't know too many 35-year-olds that's going to go out here and bust somebody's ass on the NBA court. Like, I don't know. Now, from a team marketing perspective, I would gladly sign this man, make him a jersey, quick. Like, cause you go, like,
say that shit out.
Man, that shit gonna sell out. Just like what P did for Charlotte and Toronto. He played for, he played for two teams, but in Charlotte, which is closer to New Orleans, so you got that southern connection there. It was so many people there to see Master P, and Master P did this in the height of his prime as an artist. J. Cole is arguably on the downswing of his prime, right?
This was going to happen. J. Cole going to release his next album, right? Mm-hmm. He going to announce his retirement and say, I'm declaring for the draft. That's what's going to happen.
Man, he better get a 10-day contract. Ain't nobody drafting. Ain't nobody wasting no draft pick on J. Cole, man.
Let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Say J. Cole does get signed to a team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know they're allowing the players to put, like, a socially responsible message on their jerseys now.
Yeah.
What does J. Cole's jersey say?
Damn. I don't know. Like, I mean, Cole will go for the juggler with his, because I don't think he cares. Like, what?
K.O.D.
Really? I'm thinking, like, he'll just go straight Black Lives Matter with it all spelt out. Because that's Cole. But then again, we got to expect him to get in the game. You think he'll get in the game?
He might. Like, okay. If a team if a team does sign J. Cole, there's no way he's not getting in the game. Now, does he get a lot of minutes? I doubt it.
Yeah. Oh, no, he ain't getting a lot of minutes. Now, I'm trolling with the getting in the game. I would say getting in the game, probably, you know, run up down the court, play a little defense, maybe, you know.
Maybe.
Catch in the corner. That's it.
Let him get his 1-3 off.
That's it.
And pull his ass out.
Yep. All right. Now, I'll go sit down. We go try him. And especially if you don't – like, and then he's not even going to go to a good team. He's going to go to a horrible team.
Fucking –
He should play for the Hornets. Yeah, play for the Hornets. They're bad now. Like, he just play for the hometown squad. Fuck it.
Shit, why not? Why not? That's so damn funny.
I know, man. But, oh, man, we off that. Man, next topic on the pull up. We got Ellen. She is in a bit of a hot water. Are we pulling up or keeping it moving?
Nah, let's keep it moving.
Okay. Keep it moving. We have, vice presidential vice president nomination, just out there. It's not even nomination. They on the ticket. What's up? We pulling up.
Yes, let's pull up.
Well, today, which is what, August, what, 11th?
Yes.
August 11th, Joe Biden just recently announced that his VP candidate on his card for the election in, what, a few months, Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
For VP. Johnny, react.
React. before we get to the jokes, I do want to say that this is a historic selection. Yes. The first black, and apparently Kamala is like half Indian or something. That's what a lot of people have been saying on the timeline. So the first black and Indian woman to be selected or nominated for a major political ticket. So okay. I do want to shout out Kamala Harris on that, because that's dope.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is dope. Now, with that being said, I cannot wait for this vice presidential debate. She finna get in my man's ad. Oh my God, I can't wait. I cannot wait. This shit is great. Yeah, she killed Joe Biden in a... Like
Kamala Harris is a former prosecutor. Like, that lawyer background really plays a part in this. Like, hey, she demolishes a lot of niggas. Like, when it comes to like debates, when it comes to, you know, that type of being in that type of arena, oh, it's gonna be bad for a lot of people.
Man. Listen, man. This now, if they do end up winning the presidency, do you think the inauguration would be at the ignorant levels that it was for Obama, even with the pandemic?
Absolutely. like, okay, black people have a love-hate relationship with these two for the California crime bill that, you know, incarcerated a lot of black and brown people. But with that said, you have this lovable figure that we made out of Joe Biden before everything kind of happened. He was Uncle Joe just 2 years ago. Then all of a sudden shit changed.
Right.
And then Kamala Harris is being an HBCU grad and being a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha. So it's going to be they finna put on. Like, it's going to be bad. It's bad. It's about to be bad. Like,
crazy.
I do acknowledge that, you know, it's a crazy, because Joe been saying a lot of crazy shit. And you have to realize that man is 77 years old, so he's in a lot of senile shit.
He's 77? God damn, I did not know that.
Did I pull that out my ass? Let me research. We got to put.
Yeah, we're our own research department.
I don't research.
Hey, man, shit. I will say this, though. They about to, like, I never in my life imagined that I would see strolling at the White House. But you know that's what's about to happen.
Joe Biden is 77, so
that's insane.
So he's just as old as Trump. So,
but he seems more coherent.
Yeah, he
than Trump does.
I mean, he's been saying a lot. Well, I guess he's showing his age. So he's showing a lot of, like, I'm like, fam. But, look, this is one thing I take pride in is voting. So I'm never going to sit here and say I'm not voting. I'm just not excited.
Yeah,
about I'm not enthralled about none of these candidates. But
we know what we got to do in November.
Exactly.
Like, so I have zero.
I'll leave it at that. That's how I feel about it.
I have zero feelings for both of these candidates. Like, I honestly do not care.
Yeah.
But we know what we got to do because the country has been run terribly, especially this year. So I just know what we got to do as a nation. So that's really all I got.
Yeah. But salute to the Biden Harris ticket. Hopefully, you know, you guys do big things and we'll be talking about an inauguration in 2021. Hopefully.
Yeah.
But God help us all.
October 7th is the vice president debate.
Oh, that's
tune in. Okay.
Yeah, that's what's up.
That shit gonna be a movie. That's what the kids.
That's what the kids say. Speaking of a movie, Johnny gave me the best segue. For the next topic on the pull up, we have WAP. Are we pulling up on WAP or keeping it moving?
If we don't pull up on it, that's an issue with us, isn't it?
Yeah, a big issue.
Pull up.
Okay, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion have dropped a new video, a new song with a visual called WAP. I would say the acronym, Wet Ass Pussy. Hey. Work in progress. Like, this is hilarious, man. But no, it's funny because this video, this song has, like, It's been a topic of discussion since fucking Friday. Like, it's Tuesday, the day we're recording. You guys will hear this the day it comes out Thursday. So it's just like, it's really been a topic of conversation. So Johnny, your thoughts.
First of all, I want to shout out Cardi B and I want to shout out Megan Thee Stallion because they did what I expected them to do together on this song.
Yeah.
They did exactly what I expected them to do. I really enjoyed the song. Yeah. I really enjoyed the video.
Amen.
And amen.
You know, it's so funny. I haven't heard the explicit version. I've only watched the video. Like, I've only seen the video.
Oh, no.
The video doesn't have
the explicit version.
Explicit version.
Yeah. So I need you to listen to that. And again, I want to shout them out. Listen, man. You know the dopest thing about this song?
What?
I like the contrast in the style of flow between Cardi and Megan. Like, that was dope as hell to me.
And I think it highlighted them as artists because, like, you know, joking. Like, let's take the jokes out, right?
Yeah.
Like, Cardi B always had a soul flow.
Facts.
Always, like, a slow build-up flow. Meg can get in pockets where she can rap. And it exemplified it definitely on the first exchange. Like, Cardi came in, she did a slow shit. Meg came in, it's just
eight. I was like, going. Like, come on, Meg.
Like, let's go, Meg. I was like, oh, yeah. Like, but, yeah. Like, I mean, the contrast and, you know, everything in the video because they had the colors that were just opposite. And, like, the color, like, it was actually, all jokes aside, a visually appealing video. Just like the I'm not trolling when I say
this. No, I know exactly what you're saying. You like the color scheme and all that type of stuff. So I get it. I know exactly what you're saying. Now, with that being said, listen, man. First of all, Megan calling men a bottom feeder if they eat her ass was fucking serious. Yo, first time I heard it, I was weak. I was like, come on, Megan, talk this shit. Cardi B saying she wants you to hit that dangly thing in the back of her throat. How do you rap some shit like that? How do you rap that?
I don't know.
How do you rap that? Come on, man.
Listen. Salute to the queens, man. I have songs like this I hate because, and not in the sense of like I hate, you know, the message or the song or the content. I hate that outside is not open. Because I feel like if everybody was outside in droves, like this song would be appreciated more.
Let me tell you this. If outside was open, this song would have dropped sooner.
Oh,
agreed. Just think about it.
The summer damn near over.
If there was a summer, it would be over now.
Damn near, yeah. We looking forward to Labor Day now. Like that's where the point is now, because you're right, because COVID and everything, because they shot this video in COVID. So this was actually before, you know, May's unfortunate situation, which we haven't gotten a chance to talk about. But still, just in that regard, like, it probably would have dropped around Memorial Day.
Hey, man. Hey, if this shit, first of all, if this dropped Memorial Day, like around Memorial Day, and outside was open, the backlash that this song has received would not have happened.
At all.
Go ahead.
We gotta get into those bags of the backlash, Johnny. What do you even think about it?
I don't get it. I do not get it. Why is it that when women talk that sexual shit, it's an issue, yeah. Fam. Motherfuckers been singing "Slob on My Knob" for years. Mm-hmm. So many songs before that. Lil Kim and Foxy Brown have so many songs like this. Why is it an issue now?
Yeah, and I've been on – I used to be on that train, like, because I felt that they did get too much shine. But then again, I'm not mad at them for the content. I just feel like there are other MCs that could, you know, that could be pushed up that they're, you know, a women. Mm-hmm. But in this regard, like, I start to see, like, even my own misogyny, my own patriarchy as far as, like, women. Let's let women do them. Like, why is it such a big thing if they want to rap about their wet-ass pussy? Like, that – it sounds like a good time to me. Like, I have nothing. Like, I have nothing for the people that shun, like, women and men included. It's not even just a men thing. Women do that shit, too. I've seen a lot of, like, sly remarks from women. But it's just like, if that's those women's reality, let them rap about it.
My thing is, why does everybody act like they don't have sex? Like, I don't get it.
Everybody gets on their high horse, on their high horse and shit.
Like, it's so weird to me. And, like, I truly do not understand why there are men that dislike this song.
Like, you don't, like, this is my thing. I never have to listen to this song again.
Yeah.
I never have to watch the video again. Like, it's up here. Like, once I've seen it a few times, it's up here anyway, baby. But I'm not shitting on it. I get it. It has its time. It has its place. Because mm-hmm. if I go to the booty club, I want to hear that. If I go, you know, to a day party, I want to hear that. Like, I don't want to, like I'm just saying, bro. But it's funny because, like, we get to this point where we get on our horse and we kind of forget, like, no, man, hip-hop is not, like, hip-hop is not monolithic. We can have all these things and enjoy all these things. You don't have to listen to Cardi and Meg. You don't. Go. There are other femcs that you can go listen to. And I hate that Rhapsody is always brought up in these conversations, because I used to do this too, but I wish that Rhapsody would jump on a fucking WAP remix just to show these bitches, like, show these niggas, like, hey, I don't know how Rhapsody get down. I don't know if she's hetero or heterosexual or lesbian. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
either way, shit, still get on this
doing it. She throwing that WAP somewhere. She need to talk about it. Like, just to show people. Like, I get that there are other women MCs out there, but this is the mainstream. This is what's out there. That's what we market. Sex sales. That's not. There's exactly. Nothing to think about with that. Sex sales. Sex
we know
sales.
This. The same people who have issues with this song are the same people subscribing to OnlyFans, paying for porn, looking at porn all day. So what are you upset about? I do not get it. I don't get it. I personally don't get it. Listen, hearing Cardi B say, I want you to hit that dangly thing in the back of my throat, fam. Like, come on. you don't want your woman saying that shit to you? Like, come on. I'm going to leave it at this. I'm gonna leave it at this, man. WAP was here pre-COVID, and WAP is gonna be here post-COVID. So,
and
I ain't talking about the song either.
And I ain't even saying lowest of keys, highest of keys is here during COVID. Let's go.
Hey, that's the fuck I'm talking about now. that deserved the air horn right. and gunshots.
right. But no, nah, man. Hey, man, y'all get off y'all damn high horses, man. Y'all need to get some. Maybe that's what it is. Niggas ain't had that. Niggas been in the house.
Gotta be. Like, because I don't understand it. And if you genuinely dislike the song, that's okay.
That's cool. Nah, I'm not rocking with nobody that say they don't. I mean, I am rocking if I understand if you say you don't like the song.
Yeah, and that's okay. You don't have to listen no more. But the people that's going out of their way to really, like, bash the song and Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, like, you know how they get down on songs.
I know, man. We keep going back to this, but it's bringing up more and more things because, like, I see the men that say that, oh, this is destroying the black family. But listen, man, look, we let Benny the Butcher talk about all the coke that he want to flip. You know, and not to single out Benny. You know, there are other, you know, rappers that do it. But
he's the one right now.
He's the one right now. So he can talk about all the coke he want to flip and everything else, but man, we can't listen to women empower, you know, talk about, you know, empowering things like through sex, because I would think that's a woman, you know, I don't know. I'm going to stop talking about that because I don't know shit about
me. Listen, y'all women out here been thinking this shit all the time, and now that there's women out here rapping about it, you want to be upset. Man, let's go to break.
Fair enough, right?
All right, man. So that was the pull up. And we'll be back on the other side of the break with our discussion of the day.
Yo, what up, man? It's the Geek Shed Podcast, the only podcast that blend hip-hop culture and geek culture together. I'm your boy, Deuces.
This is Lib.
This your boy, Bacardi.
And make sure y'all check us out every other Tuesday on the UrbanMogulLife.com or any other podcast platform. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning back into Oversaturated Podcast. We are back.
Yes, sir.
You know, after that heavy conversation about WAP, it got us to thinking. We got a moment of clarity. We had these conversations, me and Johnny, off wax about everything that's going on in the world, and it just seems like the entertainment industry is really taking a hit because of the pandemic, and we don't know when or where or how these things will ever get back to normal. So we just gonna kind of break these things down into, you know, I guess, you know, segments or layers, however we want to slice it up. But it's just, I don't know if, like, say the movie industry, like me and Jamie talk about movies the other day, and it just felt like, damn, when are we actually gonna sit down in a movie theater?
Man, it's like Ralph said, this is something we've been talking about, and it's like, I don't know if I really feel comfortable going back to an actual theater. Like, even with the whole social distance thing, it's like,
no.
people out here wilding, like, not wanting to wear masks. If I were to go to a movie theater now, if the theaters was open, and, you know, 90% of the people in the theater have their mask on, we're distancing, all that type of stuff, and then a group of people come in without masks, I'm gonna be mad. I'm going to be upset, and I won't be able to properly enjoy my experience. So it's like, it might be over for the theaters.
And I was thinking that I didn't want to jump out there and say it, like, will the movie theater survive? Because, like, the part of the movie theater experience is, like, you know, you're in this big auditorium. You're talking about 250 people minimum, right? Yeah. Like, just in this big room watching this movie on this, you know, big ass screen. Then if it's IMAX or 3D, it's probably a bigger room. So you know, you have all those layers to it, and then these movies are sometimes visually appealing for those
on the bigger screens. Yeah.
So I can't imagine seeing, like, a movie, like, for the first time at the crib. Like, I don't know if I'll actually enjoy it the same way that I would have on the silver screen. Like, let's throw this out here, right? Tenet. We were both excited for Tenet. So, like, Crystal, like, you got John David Washington, you know, Denzel Washington's son, and then you have Christopher Nolan with Inception and the Dark Knight series, like, the director. So you see is a visually appealing movie. That's not going to cut it. I don't give a damn what type of TV you got at home. It's not the movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you can have your 4K TV, but it ain't that, though.
The only way to even remotely try to recreate the movie going experience is to have just a stupid, dumb, big ass TV.
Just thinking about that, like, you had to have a big ass TV, top of the line TV, home theater type situation. I don't know if I mean, I'll enjoy Tenet because I really want to see it.
Right, same.
But for a visually appealing movie, do I think that it would, you know.
It won't be done any justice if you see it for the first time at home. Like, yeah. This is not a straight to DVD like type of no. event, like at no. all. Like at all. Yeah. So it's just unfortunate that it happened because, man.
Now, what do you think about this? Like Mulan, which was scheduled to come out this year in theaters, mm-hmm. is actually coming to the Disney Plus app for $30. Right. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure like the whole outline of that. Is it like, do you got 24 hours to watch it? Do you, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Like, do you get to watch it three times for $30? Whatever. But how do you feel about movies going to streaming apps versus, you know,
honestly, I feel like that's what's going to have to happen. So, yeah. Mulan is a Disney movie, so obviously it'll be on the Disney Plus streaming app. Yeah. Now, these larger movie studios that don't necessarily have their own streaming service, mm-hmm. At least this is my opinion of what should happen. They mm-hmm. should start contracting out to doing licensing deals with the Netflixes, the Hulus, or mm-hmm. come up with their own service.
Yeah.
Now, if they come up with their own service, the price might be a little outrageous.
But that's
where this is going. Like the video on demand shit, that's where this is going.
Like, it's too much red tape with that because, like, think about it like this. Do you know that Bad Boys for Life is on Stars right now?
I did not. But I mean that's the normal time because it came out in January.
But Johnny, that movie was a theatrical release. It's on Stars. That's fast. Like usually movies that come out in the movie theater get on TV the next year. But
it's Stars though. It's a premium cable app, like a premium cable channel. It ain't TNT or no shit like that.
That's true. But no, I'm thinking about industry standards before because like movies in the theater don't come straight out to like, this shit ain't even on DVD. Like, is it on DVD yet?
I would assume.
But that's funny though, right? I'm just saying like not 8 months later, like a movie that was in the theaters.
I think
that came out.
I think that's standard, bro. Like had it been on like, Stars in April, then I would say that.
Well, come on. Like, okay. That's Bad Boys for Life. Let's take it up a notch. Let's say this was like a Marvel movie. Okay. That shit would not be on Stars in 8 months.
Hey man, think about it. Endgame only came out a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Endgame came out on DVD or some shit by the end of last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, the DVD, but I'm thinking like straight to like I can go and it's on this app. Like that's weird to me. To me. That is weird because that never used to happen.
That's the way.
But I think that's where we're going. That's why it's weird.
Now let me ask you this: so for Mulan, right, movie mm-hmm. that hasn't come out, was supposed to come out in theaters, is going straight to video on demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's $30. What do you think about their price? Like, how do you feel about the price?
That's fair. You buy two movie tickets. That shit $30. Like you buy two reserve tickets on Fandango, nigga. That shit is $30.
Okay, we on the same.
So I get that. People was like pissed. Like I'm not paying $30 to see. I was like,
now the thing is, I think a lot of those people were upset because they also paid the monthly subscription fee.
Okay, now in that regard, yeah, that's. But they gotta make their money. Like,
yeah. No, right. Like, I know. I agree. I did.
Like, but most of these. Like any app has like paid features. Like you have these buy-in features. Mm-hmm. So if you want this exclusive content, you do have to pay more for it, unfortunately.
Yep.
Because I get that Disney Plus is what, $12 a month?
If you get it by itself, it's like $7.99. If you do the bundle with Hulu and ESPN Plus, it's like $13 a month.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking about. Yeah. But even in that regard, it's just like, yeah, I do pay this basic amount of month, but I have to pay more for exclusive content. That's just how the game works.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm actually with the business because, like, you do have to make money off this. Like, I don't expect to pay $70.99 per month and get all the new releases. Yes. Like, I don't expect that.
That movie costs, well, I don't know how much it costs, but I know it costs in the tens of millions to make. So they have to get, they have easily. So they have to get that money back somehow. And honestly, I'm going to be 100% with you. I think $30 is kind of cheap. I'm willing to pay $50-$55 for Black Widow. So $30 for Mulan. That's me though. I know.
Oh yeah, I know. I was about to say, come on, Black Widow, bro. Come on,
that's me.
Come on, skill back, bro.
I am having MCU withdrawals, so I'm willing to pay that. Now okay. We talking 75 and up, then we might have an issue. But anyway, so I'm saying is I understand why they're charging the prices that they're charging for these movies that haven't come out in theaters that's going straight to on demand.
Yeah, but I think that's what Disney is struggling. Like, they still want Black Widow to come out in theaters because that's the potential to be $1 billion. Like, Marvel's on a $1 billion streak. So that's why they're like, oh, no. We sit on this one. Like, and Black Widow being the beloved character that she is, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's gonna get.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to miss out on that because I just can't.
No, I'm good on it.
I can't do it.
And you know, me and you had these conversations probably on wax and off. Like, I'm just wasn't the biggest, like, I wasn't
the biggest fan
of the Black Widow thing coming. So I'm like, all right. But, you know, I would prefer to see that in a movie theater, which sounds crazy. Like, if it's on my time in the house, I'm good. Like, for right now. Like, yeah. And the only reason I would see it is if it connects to anything else. Kind of like I went back and watched Captain Marvel, like that type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason I want to watch it.
I get that.
But
I think it'll connect to like the older.
Oh yeah. You'll see references to Budapest and all that shit, you know, that we've been, you know, kind of staying atop. So
been waiting for that damn story too. They mention that shit in every movie.
Right, Budapest was lit. All right. Well,
really?
Right.
Can't get a flashback or nothing.
Right.
Shit. Crazy.
But now let's talk about music, man. How do you think the music industry has been affected by COVID?
Yeah, so one thing about the music industry that comes to mind automatically is concerts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the regular concert going experience might be dead, just like the movie theaters. Now, What's interesting is, at least what I've seen here in St. Louis, is that they had drive up concerts. Now, The concept seems kind of dope, but I'm not really sure how I feel. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I don't know if people sit in their cars or if they get out their car or what.
Yeah. I would think, well, I went off what I saw from social media, obviously. I think as long as you stay without around your car, like, you know, you're good. And then maybe if you got to travel to like a concession stand or something, you probably have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I would imagine that's the protocol.
Yeah.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
But still, that's trash.
Yeah, like these huge arena stadium concerts, like it might be a no-go for that from now on.
For a long time. Like it's especially in the United States because we're so behind on COVID and where the rest of the world is.
Mm-hmm.
I find that interesting. So like festivals, that shit might be there for a while.
I miss going to concerts and it's like I have to come to grips with I won't be able to see live music for a long time.
For a while. And like people are trying it now, but I'm this is one thing I've struggled with since the whole pandemic quarantine started. It seems like people are living their lives, right?
Mm-hmm.
And being normal. And I'm stuck here being like I'm crazy. Like and I'm like, no, you know what, Ralph? You trying to, you know, you okay? Like, I'm not saying anybody's, I don't get into the whole proverb, I don't get into the finger pointing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just know that I'm trying to protect myself and my family. Like,
right.
that's my goal. That's my goal. That's my aim. So, you know, salute to those that have been out and enjoying themselves and doing things. Like, hey, salute to y'all. But I'm not traveling right now. I'm not going to no venues, no concerts, no nothing right now. Like, I want to know for sure. The only thing I've been like putting myself out there in is like going to the gym, and I got a bang type mask for that. So
yeah, I seen that shit.
right. So that's the only thing. But getting back to the topic, right? Right. I think of concerts. I definitely think of how music has dropped because a lot of the bigger artists and top tier artists they rely off touring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, streaming is cool. Like, Drake can get 1 billion streams whenever he drops his next project. Cool, right? But he gets the money off the tour.
Yeah, them streams don't generate like, don't generate that type of
like,
money.
Like if a stream of a billion streams got me bread, I then you know
right
like,
then we just lit.
It's cool, but yeah. What does a billion streams mean?
Yeah,
in the grand sense of things.
And another thing about music is the type of music that's coming out. We haven't had we really haven't had any summer anthems this year.
Oh no,
maybe
no, no.
WAP is
the only one and
late as fuck. Right. Yeah, like it's super late. So it's like you got to think about the type of music that's coming out as well. Well, at least thinking strictly to hip hop.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like the way you're thinking because that is very true. Like, why would I put this out? Like, if I'm a DJ Khaled and I, you know, the king of the anthems, right? Rather you want to give him that title or not, he got him. Mm-hmm. If he's sitting on some shit with, you know, three of the biggest rappers in the game right now, that's because he's choosing to. Like, I'm not finna give y'all this. Like, we can wait till 2021 for this.
Right, exactly.
And that's fair because, like, I think we talked about this before. There were supposed to be at least a Big Sean, a J. Cole. Mm. I would think Kendrick was going to drop this year. That was, I think, in our prediction.
We were predicting that. Because it's been a minute, yeah.
And then, you know, Drake always comes with something. Like, he even came with stuff in the quarantine. But,
right.
Like, a full-length, here's something from Aubrey. Like, we haven't gotten that. So, it's like we, and then, nothing from, like, a big female artist. No Rihanna, no Beyonce. Like, Beyonce dropped Black is King, but that's a, That's the gift that's from last year.
Yeah.
Sidebar. That shit is amazing.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I haven't seen
if
it.
If you just want to watch, like, bro, like, you know, it's cool the Beyonce, the somewhat Beyonce bias I do have.
Yeah.
That shit is visually amazing.
Got you.
Like, just put it on. It's like a reimagining of the Lion King.
I might have to get that Disney Plus login about you because I canceled that shit.
Hey man, that came from the wife, man.
Did you watch Hamilton?
No, not yet. Like
Watch it this weekend.
I'm watching. You know, hey, you know, I can't watch certain things without people.
I got you.
Back to topic.
Anna, watch Hamilton. Watch Hamilton.
Right. Let me watch Hamilton.
Okay. No. All right. Yeah. We back.
But no, just like that. That music, like, I think the bigger artists are just sitting on, like, music. And is it right for them to sit on it? Yeah, it is what it is. Because a lot of these people have built up their platforms to make money. Like, yeah. They're past the, like, oh, I'm just doing it for the art. I'm doing it for the love. Like, I get it. You know, so I get it. But I think that, you know, the artists that we're clamoring for can give us that. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not hungry for money.
Yeah. But this is the time for the artist that's doing it for the art to drop because
and that's what we've been getting. But you have to dig in the crates for that.
Facts. This is true.
You got to go looking for that. Like
this is true.
Like we talk about Freddie Gibbs enough on this platform. Like you're not going to see Freddie Gibbs album on front page of Apple Music. Like you got to go find that man.
Exactly.
And don't come back till you find that man.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
And that's the same reason that I found Shay Noir's album, the one I was telling you about.
Yeah.
Super dope one female MC, like dope as fuck. You're not gonna hear her sing about WAP and all that type of shit. Mm-hmm. Or rap about WAP.
Or even find them on like the curated playlist that these no matter your poison, even it's Apple, Tidal or Spotify, right?
You're gonna have to search. Yeah. Yeah, for real, man. Now, speaking of rap, now that we talking about rap, we got to talk about battle rap, like how COVID is affecting battle rap, because I've definitely noticed some shit with the newer battles that's been happening.
Yeah, it's been interesting, man. What you think, bro?
Listen, like, so of course you have to social distance now and all that type of stuff. So that is affecting the battle rap arena, right?
Yeah.
So. There's no crowds at all. The only people in the venue are the battlers and the people, you know, the cameraman.
Production
team. This is showcasing the battle rappers that actually have bars. Like the battlers that battle to get crowd reactions, they not doing that well in this type of environment. You get two MCs that rap, you getting a fire battle no matter what if they don't choke.
Yeah.
And that's what I've noticed. Like, shout out to Daylight and Tay Rock, because that is the pinnacle of what the COVID battling scene should be.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. One thing that we definitely noticed, because that was a quote unquote big card with big names, because imagine if that Tay Rock Daylight battle was in a big, like in a 2000, like in the typical Irving Plaza or Webster Hall type of, like, man, look, it's that battle would have been an hour easily.
Like, oh my God. It's no way we could have gotten the greatness of that battle was if there was a crowd, because every bar or every scheme, the crowd is going to react, and it takes away from the steam of the battler. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this, like, with COVID presenting, like, we getting like events, like damn near what, at least twice a month. Like, it's like, if you check Caffeine, which is free for, you know, or, you know, anybody, if you want to get on there and watch a URL TV event, you just got to watch it live.
Yeah.
But that's the only, I would say, drawback. But you can watch it for free. Do you think that's just going to be the future of battle rap, even when outside opens back up?
I don't think so, but I kind of hope it. I kind of hope that is, because the quality of these battles, I feel like, have gotten so much better because there is no audience. Mm-hmm. But I do understand that's where maybe most of the revenue comes from.
Yeah, and that's an element of battle rap that a crowd, you know, I'm not saying the 2,000, you know, 2,000, you know, people in the room or 2,000 people, I'm not saying that, but like, you know, 15 to 30 people, like, you know, hey, it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? But that's, I don't know, bro, we ain't never getting, I don't think it's gonna be a while before battle rap is able to have the Summer Madness feel again. Like, it's gonna be a while for that.
And I'm not mad at it. I can't lie, because I like the quality of these battles, man, is just so much better now.
And it's so much faster. Me and you have been to battle rap events. Like, you're talking about your whole day. Like, man, I can commit to watching, you know, a 4 or 5 battle event, right? Mm-hmm. It'd be done in a few hours.
Yeah.
Because each battle, like, 20, 30 minutes. Like, boom, 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 knock
it out. You get your bars, you get the battlers, and you gone. Like Ralph said, we've been to these battle rap events. We've been standing on our feet for 7-8 hours, no food, nothing to drink.
Nope.
Like,
can't lose your, you go to the bathroom, lose your spot. That's it.
I'm sure. I need to be up close. Like, come on.
Yeah.
So I love the landscape of battle rap at the moment. I love it.
Gotcha. But now let's talk about this, maybe this last topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
How is expecting the COVID is affecting the sports industry.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, it's, let's start with the top tier headline of today. Mm-hmm. You have the Big Ten, which is a big football conference, canceling fall sports. And I think the Pac-12, which will slowly follow, you know, that is huge, because those are like the big five out of the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, Pac-12. What did I miss? Biggies, the swag. Not, yeah, the big. No, they bail cancel fall.
Yeah. I think all HBCU sports are canceled for the fall.
Yeah, but these are the money makers.
Yeah,
these are the money makers. These are the money making conferences. And I just have to ask Johnny, how do you even like react to that? Like, what do you think about that?
I applaud the Big Ten for putting safety over money. I applaud that, because I know a lot of the state representatives, the governor of these states, they want to have sports. Like, they want to have sports because they don't, it, from what it seems, they don't care about the safety of their citizens. So I applaud this organization for saying, no, we're not going to play fall sports because we are in the middle of a pandemic. You would think that would be logic, but again, a lot of these people put profit over safety. So yeah, I'm happy about it.
It's crazy. And I've been watching a lot of commentary on it, but it's funny because they treat these kids like professionals until it's time to pay them, right?
Man.
Like, you're like, and we've talked about this at, you know, at least ad nauseum on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I even if it's an HBCU, I feel like they are like, you require, like, you should pay them something.
Yeah.
Because those kids put money into the school's pockets. Because there's no way, like, these football coaches at these big schools get paid millions and millions of dollars.
So much money.
they are like Nick Saban is the highest paid person in Alabama. If you're talking about a state employee, the highest paid employee.
Crazy.
That's wild, right?
That's nuts.
A football coach, but that's how much money that the University of Alabama generates. If you're talking about a football program, so imagine how much money they're losing by not playing games. Like, they're not even going to play for a national championship. They're just talking about regular
games,
season game. Like these 10 games mean nothing. Like at the end of the day, you can go 10-0. They don't mean shit because you're not going to have a national championship.
My thing is, like, I want to sit down and talk to some of these people because I want to know why it's so important for these students to play. Like, I really want to know.
I've heard I think it's bullshit, and this is coming from Nick Saban, and I'm an Alabama fan, but still, life over sport, like the quality of these players' lives over, you know, wins. I'm not even going to debate that, but he was saying that football provides some of these kids structure. Like, which can be – two of these things can be true. Mm-hmm. But we're not shutting football down just to shut it down.
Right.
That's what – I feel like people are just trying to exclude, you know, from the conversation. No, football's not being shut down just to be shut down. This is like
– there's a reason.
It's a reason. And then what if Nick Saban gets – you know, his old ass gets COVID? Like, maybe the players can bounce back. What about you, my nigga? Like, yeah. What about right. you, fam?
Facts. Because, I mean, yeah. Right. It's just insane to me to even think, even like with a lot of these states that's telling like schools to, like, you know, high school, elementary schools to reopen. It's like, yeah. I want to understand why. Like, yeah. It's not like students can learn from home virtually.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't put not only the students, but the teachers, the staff, the janitors. You got to think about all the people that work in a school institution. You're putting all of their lives at risk.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, even just going back to sports, if you want to make it on a local level, and I say local, I mean high school, mm-hmm. The state of Illinois just stopped all its fall sports. Yeah. I'm not sure about the state of Missouri just yet. You know, we live in a bi-state region. So that's why we talk about Illinois and Missouri so much. But it's just – I'm happy that it's happening, but how does that work for kids that need to go off to school? And I'm not talking about, like, you know, Esau has a nationally ranked quarterback. But I'm just saying. But he's cool, like, because he's committed. But what about that kid that's on the fringe, like, that needs these scouts that, mm-hmm. that come see him? Mm-hmm. And all these things kind of get pushed back, you know what I'm saying? So it's so much that goes into it, like, you know, like the scholarships, like the play, like, because if you're talking about pushing this stuff back to spring, that's a lot for these kids. And then what if these kids are multi-sport athletes or
the thing about having fall sports in the spring, I'm thinking about the overload of just events, like, not even just at high school but college, you know. Having your fall sports and spring sports all in the spring, it's just going to be a lot going on. Like, logistically, that's going to be a nightmare. Like, it's going to be insane.
Imagine having a football game and then a basketball game the next day. Damn. And you're talking about high school. Like,
think about then, having that shit the same day. Come on, man. Like, seriously.
Cheerleaders don't get paid either. Like, nigga, like, we're supporting the cheerleaders too. Like, it's so many layers sports.
Much.
But let's jump back up to the pro level, right? Like, you got the NBA bubble, which has been highly successful, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like they're going to finish their season. But what happens when the season ends? You're not gonna have these grown men bubble up again for an entire season.
Well, you have, I think with that, you have to shorten the season. Figure out a way to have the Eastern Conference season, the Western Conference season, and then somehow do a playoff.
Somehow do a playoff. But like, it's funny because – and it's proven successful because, like, one thing that I was a high critic of was the fact that they're even having the bubble in a high-risk state. But mm-hmm. they've been able to do it. No COVID test, you know, and anything. But I was wondering, like, how does this work? Because, like, you put – it's public information where the particular teams are staying. So I know the Lakers are staying at a Disney hotel, like, you know, this particular Disney hotel. Like, it's out there. It's public information. So how do you stop super fans? How do you stop the groupies? How do you stop, like, you know, how do you stop these? Like, how do you stop, quote unquote, stop?
They probably have presidential level security all throughout the Disney campus. Like,
but if James Harden wants his groupies to come through, how does this work?
Hey, man.
Do you tell James Harden? Do you tell the beard that he can't have his women?
I got nothing.
I'm just saying.
I got nothing.
that's one thing I didn't think people like openly talked about. I was like, hey, man, like these are grown ass men. And they're gonna get tired of looking at each other.
Other men, right. And let me tell you this. Cause I'm certain what you're saying is happening, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
But it only takes one person to bring that shit in the bubble. Now they tested everybody in the bubble and they had no positive cases come back, which I think is very commendable. But it takes one motherfucker.
Facts. Now, did you pay attention to the Lou Williams story at all?
That's the guy that had COVID before. No, he
didn't have COVID. This is what happened, right? He left for a family funeral. Mm-hmm. Like, he's from Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. So he went to, you know, he went down there for his grandmother's funeral or his like a family friend, grandma, like, you know, something like that. But he left the bubble. Okay. He went to Magic City to get something to eat.
Wait,
let me finish. Like, he went to Magic City to get something to eat. Now, this is the thing. A young rapper by the name of Jack Harlow, he has a song on the radio with Lil Wayne, but that's another story. White boy popping, right? Mm-hmm. He seen Lil Will. Let's get this picture for the gram. And they posted the picture. That's how Lil Will got busted. Now, this is the thing with Lil Will. He is a big deal in Magic City. He has wings named after him on the menu. You are a booty club connoisseur. You know that food is good in the strip clubs, per se. Mm-hmm. So if you want to stop buying it wings, that's not a big thing, is it?
Wait, time out. Lou Williams was in the bubble in Orlando.
Yeah, but he left. He got permission to leave for a family funeral.
Okay.
But he was in Atlanta. The funeral was in Atlanta. So he went by Magic City to get something to eat.
My mind went to he left Orlando just to
get Magic City. No, bro. All
right, my bad. Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah. Look, the man wanted something to eat. I ain't tripping. But Lou Williams has to know that he has to go back to the bubble, so he has to take the proper precautions. Exactly. That's the only issue here.
It became a big story, like, for days. But for one, we're all bored. Two, everybody's mad that they probably can't go to the strip club. And three, like, you know what I'm saying? Three, that, you know, they want to pile on Lou Will because he's an older player. Like, you know, he's a seasoned vet. Mm-hmm. You're talking about somebody that's been in the league, let's say, 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? Lou Will been out here.
Yeah.
So I don't think he went there to necessarily just frolic. I believe he went there to get
something. He went to get something to eat.
And, you know, he saw a young rapper want to take a picture with him. All right, cool, boom. We both got our mask on, so it wasn't a big thing. Mm-hmm. I think it was just the fact that he went to a strip club.
Yeah.
It ain't the fact, like, and it's a negative connotation that, you know, strip clubs are this, that, and the third.
Man, people just, you like you said, like, while in the house, people just want to be mad at something.
It's like the WAP conversation. Like, hey man, get off your high horses.
Bro. Please, like, fam, he was hungry. Again, well, in the black community, we know Magic City. Actually, we know a lot of strip clubs have fire food.
That's the point. Like, if you go there to get, like, a wing plate,
I ain't mad at you. I get it. It's like your hole in the wall spot, only there's asses. Like, I don't know.
Exactly. But that kind of ties back to the bubble because they felt that there would have been the potential to kind of burst the bubble. Now, imagine if he contracted COVID and went back because of that. Now, they would have, you know, look at Lou Will, you messed up everything. Like,
But I think it's dope that the NBA and WNBA have implemented this bubble. Yes. But that's the only sport where that will be able to work because of the limited rosters of each team.
Exactly.
And they don't even have every team in the bubble.
Exactly. Like, because it's kind of like a blessing and a curse the way that it happened, because it was toward the end of the season. You know, certain teams weren't going to make the playoffs. Well, you don't need to come.
Yeah.
We're worried about these teams that can kind of come, and they developed a great system for this to work, and it seems like it's going to work just fine. But just starting a new season, like where everybody has to be in one place, like that's
it's gonna be difficult, man. They're gonna have to have do a bubble in Orlando.
They have to do a few bubbles.
Then another one on the West Coast. At the Disney facilities there, like find somewhere up north, somewhere up south to do all this shit.
I like the way you think there. And then, I mean, you gotta think about this one Canadian team. So how do they like? Do they stay like in Florida the whole time? Or do they go it's not fair to the brothers up in Toronto. Like it's not fair to them, right?
So we the North. Hey, so the NBA successfully implementing this bubble has put so much pressure on other sports. But I think the other sports gotta realize like they won't be able to implement the same type of situation. It's just too many players.
It's too many moving parts. Like even like let's jump ship to the Major League Baseball, right? Mm-hmm. Like our beloved Cardinals, they got a COVID case every other day.
After their first series, 14 people, including players and staff members, contracted COVID. Mm-hmm. The Miami Marlins, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Oh, they were the first to get it.
And
then the Cardinals were the next team to get it. And then it's just like the Cardinals keep having cases. So I was like, well, don't you think you should cancel it? Cancel the season. Like,
exactly.
I think we're putting a lot of, and then this is a short season. Then a lot of players are getting into it, fighting each other. Like, it was a big cheating scandal. So you got, a lot of people hunting the Astros. So you have those fights and people getting suspended in 60-game season. So it's like, if I miss 5 games of 60, nigga. Like,
and think about it. So the Cardinals, they postponed their next few games because of, their players contracting COVID. So you postpone games, you only have so many days to play so many games. You have more games than days to play. So it's like, how do you even do that?
I don't know.
And not even to mention the NFL hasn't even started yet. Yeah. So I heard they canceled the preseason.
Yeah, because preseason would have been going on right now, like as we speak, right? But the NFL needs to like let that go. They need to let that go. It's no way because every football roster has 53 men. That's just the roster. We haven't got the coaches. We haven't got the medical staff. We haven't got the ownership. We haven't got to we haven't even got to those moving parts. So how are we going to get all these people and then? I'll be damned if I, as a, you're trying to make me an essential worker as a football player and at least the GM can't come. Oh, no. You come in too. We all finna get it then. That's the case.
Facts. Every football team, including player staff, medical staff, all that type of stuff, it's probably well over 100 people.
Yeah.
How many NFL teams are there?
30.
30?
Yeah, 30.
That's a lot of people. It's no way. There's no way that this – it's no way it's going to work. It's no way. Especially with some of these teams being in states that are hot spots. Like, come on, man.
And then you have a lot of like you even had the Las Vegas Raiders. They were getting ready to open their new stadium this season.
Man, listen.
All the money that's being lost right now?
It's nuts. It's insane, man.
The only sports that probably will survive – just right now, at least, I think when things kind of get back normal, football can get back going. But like the individual sports outside of basketball, like your tennis and your golf, they can work.
Yeah,
it just can't be any crowds. It can't be any crowds. But tennis, they have the PGA Championship. I don't know if it ended, but it was over the weekend, right?
Okay,
it was something like that.
Yeah, and the U.S. Open is about to happen in a few weeks. So tennis can work. Golf could work.
And basketball, obviously, can work.
Yeah, but a lot of these larger number team players, like.
And then how exciting is football without the crowd? Like, basketball is a little different. True. Basketball, like, a lot of these – I mean, any sport can be driven by the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. Even, like, we talked about battle rap, crowds. Football, crowd. Basketball, crowd. Tennis, you can even wild out with a crowd. Golf, even though they're supposed to be quiet – like the crowd. Like, imagine, like, you get this hole in one, and it's just nobody around. You like, yeah, like, how goofy that,
look at dumb as hell.
I don't know how that.
I wonder if the players would be more focused without the crowd. Like, because I know in football, I know crowd noise can be a factor in games.
It can be a factor, and it can be motivation.
Like
it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, because like in basketball, right? Like you do things to quiet the crowd. Like you know, like that's part of the game. Yeah. But you're not getting that experience right now.
Yeah, but one thing I do like about the NBA, they're allowing people to like be in a crowd virtually. So I think you can log in and they'll show you a picture like on a screen. I think that's kind of
no, that's dope. Like that's the NBA is just at the forefront of a lot of this shit. I fuck with the NBA as a brand because they know how to make it work. They market everything the best, right? That I don't think that's really a debate.
Facts.
But you know, every other sport, I just think that the individual sports will survive better.
Yeah.
In our current climate. And, you know, once everything get back popping, of course, you know, they'll still be around. They'll still be great. Mm-hmm. But just basketball is the only one that's going to work. That's kind of like that big mainstream crowd, you know, attention getter. I think that's the only thing that's going to work because the bubble model has proven to work.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So what only time will tell how all of the entertainment industries, like, do post-COVID, whenever that may be. Yeah. Listeners, let us know what you guys think about this conversation. How do you think these things will be affected? Do you guys miss concerts like I do? Do you miss going to the theaters?
Yeah.
Any other pull up topics? Let us know what you guys think.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Hey man, it's great episode, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, if you made it this far, you know what you need to do. We appreciate you. If you subscribed on any of your major streaming platforms, please make sure you like, share, subscribe. Apple Podcasts. We appreciate 5 stars. Anything, you know, any rating. We appreciate that too. Make sure you go to oversatthepod.com, check out anything we got there.
Yeah, man. We appreciate y'all for making it this far. And with that, that's episode 82.
82!
And we out.
Yep.
Peace.